Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. I think my first guest you probably have known because he's under obligation to visit us anytime he's in New York. Otherwise, we could indeed stop bad-mouthing him. So let me welcome, first of all, my friend and CEO worldwide of Tourism Ireland, Niall Gibbons.
Thank you, Adrian. Nice to be on the show again. Great to be back in New York. I missed all the bad weather last week, so came for the good weather.
Oh, yeah, you knew what you were doing, okay. But it's not like you're short of places to go. Nice job you have, but you probably know, as we all said, the world is getting smaller. If you traveled as much as you did, you wouldn't think it's getting that much smaller. Tell us about Tourism Ireland worldwide.
Well, Tourism Ireland worldwide, we're a company that was set up, as you know, under the Good Friday Agreement to market the island of Ireland, north and south. So the functions previously carried on separately by Bord Fáilte and the Northern Ireland Tourist Board is carried out by Tourism Ireland as one company. Makes a lot of sense. Right. We have about 150 employees. About 100 of those are based overseas. We operate in about 22 markets. The biggest ones, obviously, being Britain and North America, France and Germany. They account for about 75% of all visitors to Ireland. There's a sort of second tier of markets then, the likes of Netherlands, Scandinavia, Italy, Spain. You know, there are markets that have about 200,000 visitors each. And then you get out into further reaches of the likes of Brazil, Russia, India, China. And while the numbers from those markets are very small, they account for about 5% of all our visitors. We have, we are growing by double digits every year. So they're going to become more important in the long term. And last week we were out, for example, with the Taoiseach in the Middle East, in Abu Dhabi and Dubai, where we've established a new base there a number of years ago. And you've got very important airlines like Emirates and Etihad, who didn't have a presence in Ireland 4 or 5 years ago. And by the end of this year, they'll be flying over 25 times a week into Dublin, carrying people from all over the world, like India, China, Australia, New Zealand, into new places, really, that we wouldn't have had a big presence in before.
Of course, our Taoiseach, Prime Minister of Ireland, and for us fellow mayor men, just get that in there so we get it out of the way. He takes, when he goes on missions, he'll wear any hat that has a bit of business attached to it, whether that is investment, whether it's enterprise, tourism. He gets and is very, very successful in the promotion of Ireland, but he does take the whole package.
And that's really important, because in places like the Middle East, where we were last week, particularly in markets like Abu Dhabi and Dubai, the awareness of Ireland wouldn't be that big. But my counterpart, Julie Cinnamon, who's the new chief executive of Enterprise Ireland, was with us. She led the trade mission. They brought 70 companies with them, who are trying to establish new bases in the region. Some already have existing contacts in the region. And by bringing a high-level delegation, particularly with the Taoiseach, it means that you get doors opened at a senior level that you wouldn't be able to do otherwise. We were delighted to be able to launch, or the Taoiseach launched for us, an Ireland specialist program. It meant that for travel agents and tour operators in the region, they'll be able to go online and use an educational travel tool to learn more about Ireland. So we're hoping that about 500 travel agent staff are going to learn about Ireland on this online tool, which means that when people walk in off the street to book a holiday, that Ireland will be up at the top of the list. Because in a market like that, in the Middle East, people do rely more on travel agents and tour operators than they would on the internet to book their holidays.
Talking about Tourism Ireland, and actually, 100 and roughly 150 employees, that is a huge area to cover. So obviously, almost everybody in that, within that framework has a management level in terms of making sure that what needs to get done actually does. That was what sounds like, to cover with the success of Tourism Ireland, that you'd need, thousands of people all over the world. But you've developed a tremendous strategy, obviously, with the trade and the impact of, the computer and access to information has basically transformed, even in a relatively short period of time, what we knew to be tourism mechanism?
Yeah, we have a great team out in the marketplace, and you know the business is changing all the time. And you know the biggest impact, I suppose, on the business over the last 20 years has been low fare airlines, and also the advent of the internet as well, which has changed the way business gets done. And we have to adapt and change in that environment as well. So you know we make sure that we've got staff who are well educated, well trained, very flexible, very nimble. But the bottom line is that, you know, what we're trying to do is to encourage people in a very competitive marketplace to come to Ireland on their holidays. And I think when you look at the success of this market in the United States, for example, last year we had the best tourism year ever from this market. I want to thank everybody for that. We saw over 1 million people coming to Ireland, and the spend was over $1 billion. It's a remarkable achievement, it really is. Well, it's a fairly fragile economic climate globally still.
Yes, indeed. Well, I particularly want to get the rest of the world out of the way, because as far as we're concerned, without North America, Ireland would not have had anything like the year. So we're now a bit bashful in tooting our horn with respect to that one. But our next guest will be taking over from us. But just tell us about how do you measure and how do you go into new areas? And what is the contact? What is the connection? Do you try to link up with other tourism boards, or how is that done?
Well, I'll give you a practical example. A market like China, which is very important, one of the biggest outbound markets now in the world in tourism. 83 mm-hmm. million Chinese people took holidays last year. Now, most of them will be closer to home in places like Hong Kong and Macau, but one of the first things that you do is you do an analysis of the market to see what the potential might be in terms of driving tourism. We know that out of the 83 million, only about 3 million come to Europe, and that's the pool that we're fishing in, not the 83 million.
But that's big.
It's a very big number, and there are four components. We know there's four components that need to work if we're going to generate big numbers from a market line. Just using China as an example, the first is direct air access, which we don't have currently, although we do have very good connectivity through the Middle East, through Etihad and Emirates and Abu Dhabi and Dubai. Secondly is visas, because we take it for granted. You know, there are many Western European countries that can come to Ireland but no visa requirement. But to come from China, if you want to travel through the island of Ireland, you need two visas, a UK visa and an Ireland visa. So we've been working with the Department of Justice to make the visa processing system more efficient. And we've got to a point now where the processing time for a visa is down to about 5 days, which is very encouraging. Yeah. And we also have the visa waiver scheme that the Irish government introduced in 2011, which means that people coming from China who go to the UK and clear UK customs and immigration can travel onto Ireland with no additional visa requirement. The other important bit is marketing, you know, getting into a country like China. We have websites in Cantonese, in Mandarin, the language is very important. We don't have Facebook and Twitter in China. You've got Sina Weibo and Tencent, so we're present on both those sites as well. And working with the travel trade is really, really important. And the fourth component then is the product on the ground in Ireland, what we call China Ready. So they're not going to be coming over looking for an Irish breakfast and a big fry. The culinary aspects are a little bit different. Do we have tour guides who are trained in Chinese language, you know? But the feedback has been very good, and we had 20 companies out in China with us last October. Met 459 tour operators, got 7,200 appointments, and the feedback has been very positive. We'll probably be a bigger delegation out on a sales mission later this year. So for a market like that, where you know the awareness of Ireland is nil really, things like river dance they'd be aware of.
Right.
But other than that, you know, when you come to a market like the United States, the awareness of Ireland is very, very strong. You have to get in really at that level and start building the brand from scratch, and you're really starting a painting with a blank canvas. Whereas over here it's a little bit different, so to speak, in the United States. So, and every market is different. I mean, I'll use the example of China. I mean, we're in India as well, Brazil, Russia. They all present opportunities for Ireland. But I think it's important to make the point that when we're sitting here in 10 years' time talking about the distribution of visitors to Ireland, the UK and the United States will still be the top two markets.
Finally, I just want to ask you, finally, because I need to get to the executive vice president, head of tourism North America. But there's a story going around, and I just want to double check with it, because, as you know, our program has been accused through the decades of being parochial, which I deny. But Áine Sheridan is going around the town saying that she heard a story about within a couple of week period you meeting all of these, not only Longford people, but the story that's told by yourself.
Well, yeah, it's a funny one. We were over in San Francisco with Minister Bradker doing a major promotion around the new Aer Lingus flight. We had many members of the Irish community who've done a great job, you know, over the last number of decades, really. And it was great to reconnect with them. But one is a member of the San Francisco Police Department. His name is Val Kerwin, a tremendously nice gentleman. He escorted us into the building. Anything that we ever needed, he was always on hand to deliver, and I was able to give him a nice plug from the stage, and he sent me a lovely email. And what was interesting was that I asked Val where he came from, and he said Lanesborough in County Longford. Now, my uncle taught in Lanesborough for 44 years, and
as a national,
and the two of them were great pals over 30 years ago. They used to play poker together, so I was bowled over by how small a world it was, and I came back and I told my family, wasn't that fantastic? What's remarkable, and I mean, the world is a small place, and I know it's a cliche, but I was in London at World Travel Market the week afterwards, which is one of the biggest travel fairs in the world, and we had 10 industry with us then for a drink later on in a pub called the Horse and Groom in London, and I went up to get a drink, and I knew the owners in the west of Ireland. I just said, where are you from? And he said, Lanesborough. And I said, that's remarkable. I said, I met this guy from San Francisco called Val Kerwin, and he was from Lanesborough, and he said to me, Val was in my class. and we're still great pals, and we meet every year. And I just said, my God, the world really is a small place. And it was brought home to me again. Chris Hatfield, who's a Canadian astronaut,
right,
who's been up in space tweeting down pictures of Ireland, signed up to be a tourism ambassador. And when he came to Ireland last week, and you know, they asked him how it felt to be a tourism ambassador, he said, well, as someone who's been around the world 3,200 times in the last year, the world is a small place. But I can tell you, Lanesborough and County Longford has brought it all home for me.
Absolutely. It's a great story. Now, you introduce, please, for us, Alison Metcalf, who is the Executive Vice President, Tourism for North America.
Well, Alison Metcalf is a wonderful colleague who's worked in Tourism Ireland and previously the Northern Ireland Tourist Board. She ran the operation in Canada for many years, did a superb job up there, and has been in the New York office of Tourism Ireland since 2007, working alongside Joe Byrne, who you'd all be very familiar with on the programme here. And I'm delighted to say that following a competition, Alison put the name of the hat and came out tops, and has taken to the job like a duck to water. And she has come in and done an outstanding job, great favourable feedback from the trade. What's more, in her first year, she's produced a record performance from the United States, which we're all really excited about. And we've been over here, and the reason I'm here is because Alison has been launching the 2014 plans for the United States market. We already have a few good things in the bag, like the new Aer Lingus service from San Francisco to Dublin starting on the 2nd of April. And United have just announced a doubling of their services into Dublin as well this year. And they've also announced the extra 90 flights from Chicago into Shannon on top of the new services they introduced last year. So we had a 26% increase in the airline seats last summer. There's an extra 10% on top of that coming this year. So Alison is... got us in tip-top shape, and I think we're heading into a really exciting year for tourism, and we couldn't have a better person to do it.
Okay, that sounded very professional. I was going to take it bit by bit. We'd all lead, of course, Alison, to what we're all celebrating, in 2014, and that is, never has there been such a response for tourists into Tourism Ireland, and the gathering was brilliant.
It was, and thanks now for that glowing introduction. It makes my job sound easy now. We have all this extra access.
Oh no, you have to watch him. There's a cuteness there that...
Absolutely. Well, as Niall's already said, last year was a record year, and I think the big sort of thank you to not only to the tourism industry, but also the gathering played a big part in that, and many of your listeners and many very proud Irish Americans played a big part in making it a record year by bringing business, travelling over for family gatherings, golf trips, corporate meetings, you name it, and we'll certainly be looking to ask their help again this year. But we are in good shape, and as Niall has said, we've never had better access. We're back to the sort of the heady days of 2007, where we have roughly 35,000-36,000 seats leaving United States every week from 9 gateways. So access and air services are a big driver.
Right.
Lots of exciting things happening this year. A big focus for us will be the launch of the new Wild Atlantic Way. And for your listeners, it's not new. I mean, essentially what it is
right,
we're redefining the west coast of Ireland. So it's Ireland, well, it's the world's longest defined coastal touring route. It runs for 1,500 miles right from the Inishowen Peninsula all the way down to Kinsale. And I suppose what we're really saying to people is that for the first time, there's going to be a lot more interpretation along that route. There'll be opportunities for people to stop off and experience your unique experience that can only be found in Ireland, whether they're interested in castles, gardens, culinary experiences. We invite them to do bits of it. They don't have to drive the entire
route. You have it into actually, what, it's five general sections.
Yeah, there are five different sections along the route. And obviously, from a US perspective, having the increased air access into Shannon makes it, that's a good starting point. So you can divide it up. You can do parts of it. You can do the entire route. It's going to be signed, and there's going to be a lot more opportunities for people to really engage with the locals, engage with the landscape in a way that hasn't been possible before. So it's very exciting, and we see that as being sort of new news and give people a reason to either come for the first time or to come back again. But we really realize that most Americans want to explore the entire country. So if they spend some time on the Wild Atlantic Way, likelihood they will then spend time in Dublin.
Sure.
And when they've made it to the top, or if they decide to start at the top and sort of in the Inishowen Peninsula, they can carry on down up around the Causeway coastal route, so around the city of Derry, Londonderry, visit the Giant's Causeway, Bushmills Distillery, and travel on down to the beautiful Glens of Antrim, all the way to Belfast. So for anybody interested in car touring or in taking a tour, some of the escorted tours will also be on that route. It's a must-see for 2014.
We covered and broadcast live from the FLA in Derry this year, and en route to Belfast, we took in several stops along the way on, the Northern Ireland coastal route, and so many different type tourists, from cyclists to walking tourists, climbing, just about anything you could. So, of course, the equestrian centre, areas that, when we think of touring Ireland, we think of, stopping at, some rest areas, which is specifically to look at the tremendous scenery. A tremendous amount of activity going on as well, which is new.
Yes, and I think that's what we really want to bring people's attention to. Absolutely, there's lots of great scenery and attractions to see, but I think our brand says we want people to jump into Ireland, we want them to immerse themselves in the experiences. So if you take the Wild Atlantic Way or you take the Causeway Coastal Route, if you're a golfer, it's a golfer's paradise. If you look at Northern Ireland, you've got Royal Portrush, Castle Stewart, Port Stewart and Castle Rock there, and you can carry on around to Ballyliffin and down to Sligo. If you're a walker or a hiker, you've got terrific walking trails all around the Causeway Coastal Route. Again, if you're into fishing or horseback riding, all of those activities are there.
Surfing, which has become,
some of the best surfing beaches in Donegal, Rathnaula is a good example there. Again, if you're hardy and you really want to, come out and experience the Atlantic surf, there's no better place. So we want to get that message across. We also want to get the activity message across, particularly to a younger traveller here in the United States, which we are beginning to target. They're interested in Ireland. They're primarily interested in the cultural side of things, great landscape, as well as having fun in our cities, Dublin and Belfast specifically. But they're also interested in doing some activity. And whilst activity may not be the reason for them to come to Ireland in the first place, they like to know that there's fun stuff and active stuff that can be enjoyed, within close proximity to other major centres.
We know that, obviously, for, for the Irish economy, Ireland would be in pretty bad shape without American companies, in particular, developing world headquarters and the internet, the Google, all of the companies that are there, who again are attracting younger people. They are also, having a summit, for instance, in Ireland, for the for the techie set is something that, again, is marvelous. But they do, you know, as they there's plenty of room and time for them to, whether it's Dublin or Belfast, you know, to work around that and to get day trips, which is, you know,
absolutely. I mean, nine of the top 10, you know, global tech companies that have the European headquarters in Dublin, and I think, you know, if you look at the inward investment that's coming, particularly from this part of the world, to Ireland, and it's, you know, primarily in the financial services and the tech sector, and attracting obviously a younger workforce, both from the US, but also employing younger people in Ireland. And if you are working or you're visiting in Dublin or Belfast or anywhere else, one of the great things that we have, I think, is the proximity of those cities to great scenery, great countryside, and they can come back into the city then to have fun at night. And I think that's what our research has shown, that they want to have a good time in the daytime in the cities, but they also want to have fun at night. And it's a new positioning, it's new messaging we're putting out there. It's something that we started back at the end of last year, just trying to dial up some of those new and more exciting and vibrant experiences that are on offer in Dublin, Belfast, Galway and Cork particularly.
Obviously, it is going to be difficult to continue adding to the massive numbers that we saw for the gathering. It would be equally difficult for us not to keep referring to the gathering, something that would be, you know, and I don't any skitting over this, but that would be like Mayo winning the All Ireland final, you know, which, can we leave that exactly where it is? But it is something that it has had such an impact, is that, you know, how do you top that? How can you possibly go forward now, particularly? You know, there's nothing that would have the ring to it, you know, as much as the gathering.
Well, I think there's two things. I mean, the gathering obviously was a great success, and I think it, you know, it captured people's imagination, and I think it proved to us sort of that power of invitation. People were invited to come back, whether it's to come home, to explore their Irish ancestry, or to bring their friends with them. But I would also say that, you know, one reason why it was so successful was that the health of and the image of Brand Island here in the United States and Canada is very strong. It's in very good shape, and we know that within the consumer that we're targeting, that almost everybody wants to come to Ireland at some point in the future. And the biggest challenge
on the bucket list
we face is it's on the bucket list. And I think what the gathering did was it created sort of an impetus, it created a sense of urgency, and immediately to say, look, we've been talking about going. There's so much happening. I mean, whether you're going to organise your own gatherings, family outings, and things, or whether you're coming to participate in an event or a gathering around a certain, you know, subject, whether it was, you know, it was for the Riverdance Festival, or it was the Hairy Beard Festival, there were all sorts of things. It got
the
people
war,
excited,
you know, all of
and
these,
committed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think what you're going to see going forward is that a lot of those events that took place last year are still going to take place, because some of the events were already there.
And
they
why
were
not?
Made
yeah.
bigger and better. I think it created a sense of, you know, great pride in Ireland, that people almost got very competitive and they wanted to organise a bigger and a better event, and they wanted to invite their friends from around the world. But I think that sort of power of community is still going to be there. So I think that will continue. And for other types of business that we would target, group business, whereby people will be coming as part of, you know, it could be a choral group, or it could be a musical group or a Christian heritage group. It inspires them to think about Ireland again, and not everybody had the time and the opportunity to travel in 2013. So I'm convinced they will certainly travel again, or travel this year. And the feedback we're getting so far, and it's very, very early in the season to call, but is that it looks as though this year, you know, fingers crossed, with the right marketing, the right, you know, investment, we should be able to top, we have targets to top 2013. Now, that's already alluded to that. So we're looking for another 8 or 9%.
That's what I told you. Watch out for him. Is, you know, tap your back with one hand and, you know, wave the finger with the other. But it's going to be a huge you know, of really such a part of the recovery of the economy in Ireland. And I think most people, if not the great majority of people who went to Ireland this year maybe did not realize that every part of Ireland, not just the cities, but you know, the counties, the towns, the sense of friendly competition, down to parishes, down to villages. It was, if you were in Ireland, even if you didn't go specifically for the gathering, you definitely knew that wherever you were traveling to.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of activity there, and that has to have
We hope that those people come back and tell their friends and spread the word. And again, you know, just to give a call out to some of the big events that are happening in 2014, and again, that will excite some people to come back. I mean, it's obviously it's the National City of Culture is in Limerick this year, so again, for people traveling, there's going to be an extra special program of events there. We have the Giro d'Italia, which is sort of the Italian version of the Tour de France, an exciting event which has two stages taking place in Ireland, from Belfast up to the Causeway Coast, and then down Belfast to Armagh and down to Dublin. So that's, you know, that in itself will excite cycling enthusiasts. It'll be an opportunity for us through the broadcast of the Giro d'Italia to showcase the great scenery and the more active vacation experiences that are available in Ireland. So those are, you know, two very big events. And then, of course, with the Wild Atlantic Way, I think that's going to sort of really, you know, spark people's interest.
And obviously we can expect from the Wild Atlantic Way that since areas like the west coast of Ireland, since they really did a tremendous job this year, there's no reason why they wouldn't continue that. And as a matter of fact, I'm sure that a lot of them have established their own contacts, you know, through this year.
Oh, yes. I mean, certainly there's been significant investment on the ground, €6 million, I think, put into developing the sort of the interpretation along the way. There's been a lot of industry engagement working with tourism providers and characters in different parts of the route. Again, and this is all about trying to deliver that very, you know, real and authentic experience, whether you're wanting to learn to play a musical instrument, you know, learn Irish, or just do something
anything
that you cannot
do
at home. And and I think that's a really important point. I should also mention, for again, to some of your listeners, that it's the Croke Park Classic. You know, again, another great college football game happening August the 30th. And again, I think the success and the excitement that was created with the Emerald Isle Classic 2 years ago, I think people left that game knowing that, you know, if you go and watch a football game in Ireland, you're going to have a great time. The game is one day, but you know, typically you're organising a vacation for another week or 10 days. And what that did was it really had a great impact. Again, it was felt right around the country, north, south, east, west. You know, there were golfers, people sightseeing. And it's another example of you know, using major events just to get people over the line to say, this is the year to go, and let's not put it off any longer.
And each successful event in Ireland has, you know, it has produced so many ambassadors, people who definitely will not keep quiet about their experiences. Because, you know, absolutely. I want to go back to Niall Gibbons. Niall, the definitely the gathering was a rip-roaring success. There is no question about that. But tourism to Ireland has had a tremendous history, that there was a time where we felt that Tourism Ireland kind of was very selective in promoting places that already had were attracting tourists, North American tourists in particular. So they took the easy road, and you know, Killarney and Galway and Heath and Fonbet in earnest, places like Mayo and Sligo and going on to Donegal, had some reason to, you know, to feel that Tourism Ireland really, you know, had to do with getting numbers into, you know, places that would indeed bring the bottom line closer to what it was. I think since the establishment, and you can, you know, we're talking about now 1998, so it's a new aspect of the promotion of Ireland as an island, and in fact, Tourism Ireland not only became the first all-Ireland body in terms of promotion, nobody else rushed in since. You still have a degree of competition with enterprise and trade between Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland. But that gave some amazing impetus to get people not just to out of the very attractive and traditional tourist areas, but to get into Ireland as an island, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think the island experience is really enhanced by both parts of the island working together. And I always use the example, you know, having Rory McIlroy and Pádraig Harrington playing on the same team is far stronger than having them playing separately. Yeah. And, I think the development of the tourism product over the last 10, 15 years has been really, really good. I think the Wild Atlantic Way coming on stream, you know, and joining up with the Causeway Coastal Route essentially gives you the opportunity to explore all the way from Belfast all the way around to Cork. You may not do it all in one go. I mean, 1,600 miles, it's a long way, but the signposting and interpretation will be there, so you can take off bite-sized chunks as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what it'll be good for as well is that, you know, like Dublin has done very well in the last number of years. You know, most flights, about 80 to 90% of all the flights go to Dublin, so obviously that's where most people would start their holiday. But I think the development of more rural tourism product is going to be very good. The example of the Greenway in County Mayo, 46 kilometres of cycle track, you know, has brought renewed and fresh impact.
Yeah, that's from Westport to
Orania.
Yeah, Westport to Orania. And again, just for the benefit of those who may not know what we're talking about, this was actually taking the route of the unused railroad track and developing that into, you know, a tremendous primarily for walking, for cycling, but you find all kinds of hikers and people who do bits and pieces of it. It's a brilliant idea.
It's a brilliant idea, and I mean, all the credit goes to Peter Hines, who's the Mayo County Manager. And I think the other success you see is all the small enterprises that open up along the way, the coffee shops, the bike hire shops.
Absolutely.
And I mean, there is talk of extending that around to Connemara at some point as well, you know,
right,
which would be fantastic and iconic. I think the whole area of cycling is something that's taken off, particularly in the last sort of 5 to 10 years. It's great that the Giro d'Italia, which is the second largest cycle race in the world after the Tour de France, is coming to Ireland. It'll be starting, the first three stages will be in Ireland, Belfast, Armagh and Dublin. And that goes out to a TV audience of 750 million people globally, 120 million homes. So I think that's going to, you know, give renewed impetus to that sort of thing. So walking and cycling tracks are going to become a much bigger part of the tourism experience.
Few could complain, even begrudgers would have difficulty in complaining about, the huge and easy access to Ireland, even those who say, well, yeah, but, you know, if you can go from the top of Ireland and wind up in, the bottom of County Cork, and you can do that in one day, my God, nobody would ever see, you know, the whole country that way. But the truth of the matter is, it is fabulous to have that kind of, ability to get very easily from, you know, to go from Dublin to Galway, to go to Connemara from, you know, not just Shannon, but from any of the other areas, it's a breeze.
It's made a huge difference now, because I know there was a time a number of years ago to drive from Dublin to Galway. It could take up to 4 hours, depending on the day and the time. But typically now, you will be in Galway in 2 hours when you're leaving Dublin.
Right.
I mean, same with, you know, Cork, with Shannon, you know, and there's a number of other bypasses planned too, down the N11, down past Arca. So, I mean, it makes the country much more accessible. And I think there's an upgrade to the A5 as well, so for people driving from Donegal to in years to come, that journey will be shortened. I mean, Dublin to Belfast, you're doing less than 2 hours too.
Yes. Now, what impact does the, your job and Tourism Ireland's job is basically to get people to come to Ireland, to work on the airlines, to airlines don't just kind of do that on their own. They have they definitely need a case built. Did that kind of reach a new level in 2013 because of the gathering?
Yeah, and I mean, that legwork would have been done in 2011 and 2012. I mean, we know, for example, in the summer of 2007, which would have been one of the peak years for tourism to Ireland, the number of airline seats coming onto the island of Ireland every week was about 500,000 during the summer season. That's from all markets now, about 500,000 seats every week. By the summer of 2011, that 500,000 had fallen to 424,000. So we lost 76,000 seats a week. Now, the economic reasons for that, you know, the price of fuel went up,
sure.
Airlines were losing money, but also the economic recession meant there was less demand. But for an island, you know, it's critical. 85% of people who come are coming by air, 15% by sea. So we put together an access strategy where we went out on the road, talked to airlines, worked very closely with the airports as well.
Right.
And, you know, what we have seen is a steady increase to the point where in the United States, our airline access capacity is back to where it was at the peak in the summer of 2014, 35,000 seats per week, and you know, all gateways seeing an increase as well. But coming back to the West Coast, I mean, California, it's great to see that because we had routes into San Francisco and LA, which had got pulled back in 2009, so we're delighted with those. And we had some very good meetings the last couple of days. We met Delta and we met Aer Lingus.
Right.
And what's really encouraging is that if we can keep the momentum going on what we've seen, you know, we could see breakthroughs into other gateways in 2, 3, 4 years' time.
What role and relevance is there by the pre-clearance? An awful lot of people going to Ireland this year did not go because they would, you know, would have this zip through pre-clearance. You go, everything is done, you get off, and you don't have to go through any customs or any long lines. You get off and you pick up your luggage. Most people found that to be extraordinary. But what role has that played generally in tourism over the last few years for North Americans, obviously?
I think it's played a significant role because you have to remember that, I mean, people don't like hassle. The hassle factor is something that people want taken out of their lives, and I think that's what CBP does. And what's remarkable is that other than, I think it's Canada, Ireland is the only country that has it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a remarkable testament to the relationship between the United States and Ireland that it's there. And, I mean, I came through it myself. I flew out with Aer Lingus on this particular
right.
trip, and I just arrived at Terminal 5 in JFK like a domestic customer, and it just made the journey so much easier. And you go through your CBP, you know, at a time when you'll probably be sitting having a cup of coffee in an airport lounge anyway, so it doesn't really add any time on. It takes a huge hassle factor out of travel. And what's very interesting for us is, well, it's not part of our business necessarily, but in the UK market now, what we're starting to see is a large amount of traffic transiting through Dublin to clear customs before flying on to the United States. And Aer Lingus and Ryanair have launched new services from cities like Manchester, Birmingham, Newcastle, Edinburgh, mm-hmm. Cardiff, London. And we've actually seen a 10% increase in the number of seats from the British market into Ireland, mainly one reason to drive traffic on to the US, but it also gives us extra seats to sell in that market, which was very depressed for a long time, arising from the economic situation.
One of the most Americans, or a lot of people we know, went to Ireland this year, and for the very first time, because of the gathering, met immigrants, those who had gone to Britain, those who had gone to New Zealand, Australia, and in all the European countries along the way. This was more accidental and would not have happened were it not for Ireland itself. Part of the fault in Ireland was itself, and the promotion of the gathering is that most areas said, "My God, we better get in on this," you know. If there's going to be a whole crowd coming our way, let's create our own event, or so that you had people that were meeting, including myself, back in my own home parish. I had met a lot of immigrants that I hadn't met since, you know, go back to the Lanesboro, those who were in class with me, and they were back because it was the 50th anniversary of, you know, Bunny Finglas Sports. It was the horse show in Bunny Condon, a neighbouring parish. And you had all of these people that not in a million years you thought you would ever see again. You know, it was, is that, again, you know, are we going to lose something by virtue of saying, you know, well, that was the gathering. I think you can't announce the end of the gathering because it's going to, you know, that has legs, as I say.
Yeah, I think, you know, the gathering you can only do every so often because it needs to have cachet and currency, but there are going to be legacies arising from the gathering, and some of those we've seen already. You know, the role that local authorities had to play in tourism, which they may not have done up to now, an increasing role for them. I think the role of local communities in tourism, many years ago, I think people started to think about banking and building houses as opposed to tourism and agriculture, which is what we're good at. But I think tourism is back on the map again, which is great. The quality of the welcome is excellent. But the one thing I think that stuck out last year was the power of the personal invite. You know, people love to be invited to do things. And they came back. I mean, one of the favourite ones that I saw on the news that I hadn't expected. I mean, the head of the CIA, John Brennan, was in Roscommon with his father in Kinteven because there was a gathering and they were invited. And somebody asked them.
Yes.
And if you don't ask them,
they're not going to come. We've heard that story over and over. And I think that was the whole idea. And, you know, with Ireland's reputation as having the Fulch and the great welcome, you know, nobody actually, it was so general that when you did have people who were saying, yeah, we went over, we were invited over. Hardly anybody that we had met said, oh yeah, we went over because we were invited to do something. It's terrific.
And it is something that we're very good at. And I use the example of Chris Hadfield, the astronaut who became a tourism ambassador for us. His daughter was studying in Dublin, and I'd heard that, and I just invited her in for a cup of tea, and we had a nice conversation. I just asked, would your dad like to do some tourism ambassadorial work? And they came back and said, yeah, thanks.
And you did that on your own without the T-shirt?
I know,
I can't believe
it.
I can't believe it. Okay. I want to thank both of you, and in particular, Alison, I want you to know how happy we are that you come to us actually with a tremendous experience from the Irish in Canada. Again, we kind of feel that they're up there somewhere, that we really, you know, have very little to. In terms of association. However, you would know it because you had worked so,
That's right. Sometimes I think when we're sitting down here in the US, you know, it's a bit like sort of, you know what, you know, there's something up there in your attic, but you don't go up there very often to explore that. And Canada is a great market for Ireland and very exciting developments happening. For this year, 2014, the biggest constraint to really growing that market, which has grown despite of the constraint, is not having enough direct air access.
Yeah.
So this year we have more than enough access. We have a 71% increase in the direct air access over the summer months. We have Air Canada now, Rouge, extending their service. Aer Lingus is starting a new service on April the 14th. Of course, Air Transat has been a long-time player there. And WestJet has started a new service from St. John's in Newfoundland.
And so it is it's affordable. It's very competitive.
Very competitive. And as I say, Canadians love to travel. Very, you know, gregarious outbound travelers to Europe. They love Ireland. And despite the challenges we've had on the access front, we've seen business grow very significantly. We're probably about 11.5% growth in that market in 2013. So big expectations to really realise the potential that market offers and to start telling Canadians about what a great vacation destination Ireland is all of the year round. It's been a very seasonal destination up until this point. And to get back into marketing Ireland in Western Canada, which we haven't done for a number of years because we haven't had the resources to do that. But now we have a great opportunity to explore not only Canadians with Irish heritage, but, you know, Canadians that are travelling to Europe, and to make sure that Ireland is at the top of their consideration list.
The tour business, the coach tour, the escorted tour business, has even taken CIE. It just seems like there is no end to, you know, the gradual increase every year. Some thought that maybe that would take maybe a second or a back seat to, you know, the whole gathering, and the opposite actually turned out to be true.
You're absolutely
robust,
right. I mean, the escorted operators have all seen, you know, double-digit growth last year. And in talking to many of them over the last couple of weeks, start of this year, things are looking very positive again for 2014. So they're looking to build on what was already an exceptionally good year. And, you know, Americans and Canadians, they still book a significant amount of travel through tour operators and travel agents. It's a very big part of our business, and it's a very big part of our marketing program here in the US. So we work very closely with all of the big players, you know, the CIEs, Trafalgar, Brendan, all of them. We've got great product, and the value is still there on the ground. And I think you're seeing that coming through. It's been really reflected in the pricing for this year.
Ireland.com. And as I say, and I mean it, that is not the Bible of not only travel to Ireland, but many people who actually get onto Ireland.com find out, the huge array of information. Everything is from a culture and obviously to travel. And it is updated every day of the year, so it is. It's amazing. It's a terrific place to go.
Yeah, it is. We like to think of it as a one-stop travel shop for travel information.
And for history and for culture.
History, heritage, culture.
Okay, yeah.
It's fully, you know, socially enabled now. We encourage people to become a Facebook fan of Tourism Ireland. We've got nearly 600,000 fans. We're putting new content up there, events, packages, airfares and things. So it really is that one-stop shop if you're looking to research and get inspired about what to do when you're planning your vacation. It's the place to go.
Alison McCaff, Executive Vice President, Tourism for United States and Canada, representing Ireland, and of course, Niall Gibbons, who is the Chief Executive Officer worldwide for Tourism Ireland. Delighted again to be able to share and live off this the great success of the gathering, which, as I say, is continuing.
Very well. Thank you very much for having us on the show, and we look forward to seeing you many times over here in New York and back in Ireland as well. And maybe Mayo will win the All Ireland this year, Adrian.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't jinx us. Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network. You.